All right, Henrik. Yeah, this is us. How many really did see that program? Yeah, it's about a father passes away, and they begin to cope the kids and how they cope with the fact that they lost their dad, and some of them, you know, they got into addictions and they're just trying to get through life, and that's how life is like without God, without understanding who God is and without understanding our purpose in life. We begin to cope with life and we go through all kind of different experiences and addictions and trying to just get through life and not understanding our purpose in life. And that's what we're going to talk about in this series. And in the process, we'll find out who has God called us to be. Yeah. And so today we're talking about thrive. And see, the reality is we were made to thrive in life. This was God's original intention for humanity, as illustrated by the creation account. However, we are hindered by sin, which robs us of our ability to truly thrive. As a result, we are left to cope with our fallen state by living for temporary pleasures that in the end never satisfy us and often bring negative consequences. How many of you know what I'm talking about that when I just said that? The pleasures of this life will never bring satisfaction to your soul. Jesus came to defeat the power of sin and restore our ability to truly thrive as we walk in discipleship to Him. In all of His miracles, He overcame the curse of sin to restore human thriving. He continues to do that in our lives today as we walk with Him. Now, I'm not just talking about surviving. I'm talking about thriving in God. It's one thing to be forgiven by God, but it's another thing is to fulfill your God-given purpose. See, every one of us, you were made for a purpose. And God, He didn't just make you and, okay, you just kind of go through life without a purpose. There's a divine purpose and order of why you are here on this earth. And the way you discover that is really in your relationship with the Lord. I found over the years, the more I come to know God, the more I begin to understand who I am and what my purpose is in life. And the moment I kind of get a little shaky in my fellowship of God and my relationship with God, then my purpose gets shaky. Huh? How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, it's all wrapped up in our relationship with God. That's why it's important that we pursue God with a passion. We don't just go through a religious experience, but we pursue Him because we love Him. And, post-Easter is a time when we now need to continue in the journey as we walk to the cross, through the cross. Now we're going to walk the cross out into our world and bring the gospel to other people. How many of you have family and friends who need to hear the gospel of the good news? Well, I got news for you. They won't hear it unless you share it and you live it. But I want to take a look in the beginning, in Genesis, of how it all started out. Because we were made to rule. You and I were born to rule. Look at me in Genesis 1, verse 26. It says this, that God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock. And over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Let me tell you what. You are made in God's image and you have dominion over every creeping thing. God created man in His own image. In His image of God, He created man. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." See, we were made in God's likeness to reflect His glory. We were called to steward His paradise. And problems occur when pleasure and paradise replace the provider. You see, God made us in His image, meaning that we were made to represent Him as His agents on this earth. The truth is, it gives all the human life dignity, value, meaning, and purpose. That's all found in God. But He made us that way. Male and female, He created us, implies our need for relationships. We cannot exist on our own, but we're made for relationship with God and others. That's why it's important that you be in a grace group. Because life is not made for you to live by yourself. It's to be in community with other believers. Can I hear an amen, somebody? God blessed them. The first thing God did was not give rules, but blessing. Showing His heart for humanity is one of thriving and blessing. Let me tell you what. God is a God of blessing. He wants to bless you and I. He didn't come with a set of rules and regulations and telling you, stop doing that, stop. No, He came with the intention to bless you and I. You got to get that in your mind and your heart. Some of you're walking around and you're walking under condemnation and because things you've done in the past and you feel like the enemy is coming against you or somehow God is going to punish you. Man, you got to break out of that thinking because that's not of God. God is a God of blessing. He wants to bless you. And some of you, as I look across this crowd, and you've been blessed by God. But let me tell you what, God has more blessing for you. As you pursue Him, He wants to bless your life. He wants you to rule over, and He wants us to be fruitful. He's showing that God gave us a mission for humanity to fill the earth with His glory and presence. He also has the word we have to subdue. Subdue implies that there's something in the garden that needed subduing. Example would be Satan. This further illustrates man's mission to conquer Satan and bring God's rule to the entire earth. You see, God created you and I to rule, to have dominion. He created us to walk in His blessings. He wants to do things in our lives. He has a purpose for our lives. So you're not here just going through the motions. Man, you have here a divine purpose is to spread the gospel and to bring the glory of God to wherever we go. Yes, there's a purpose. Generally, every one of us as believers who are walking with Christ, that we are to bring the gospel to other people. Let me tell you, where you work at, where you go into the community and play at, wherever you live at, let me tell you what, God wants you to bring in the presence, the glory, His gospel to wherever you go. To change the world. One life at a time. See, some of us, we have all the good news, the gospel in us, but it's all bottled up in us. But the Lord wants us to go out there and change the world, to bring the good news of forgiveness to those around you. Can I hear an amen, somebody? But the enemy seeks to ruin us. See, there's a devil out there is seeking to ruin you and I. We find in the creation account, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God has made. Now we know that the serpent is actually Satan. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Really, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. You see, we find here that Satan comes in as a serpent to question, to bring doubt to what God has already said. The problem here is that really Adam should be the guy who will be tending the garden and protecting Eve. But somehow Adam was off doing something else, and that the enemy comes in and attacks the weaker vessel. And we find here that he began to question the word of God. One of the attacks of the enemy, that he comes in deception. He wants to always question what God has said to you. He comes to distort the truth in our mind. But the problem here is that with Eve, instead of operating from the aspect of ruling, she has a discussion with the devil, with the serpent. You see, the Lord don't call us to have a discussion with Satan. He calls us to talk to him and speak directly to him, but not have a discussion with him. And the moment she had a discussion, then all of a sudden, the serpent began to deceive her even further. See, the enemy uses attraction to coerce sin in our eyes. He allows us to see certain things. Then he causes us to sin and guilt to trigger shame and cover up in our soul. And that's what the enemy does. He comes and attacks. See, he comes with the lust of the flesh, something that was desired to be good. Then the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those three areas, he still comes after us even today. He did that to Jesus. He did that to David. He did that to all the great people of God. And I tell you something, the enemy doesn't change his tactics. He'll come the same way against you. It's always something about your flesh, something you want for yourself, something that you look with your eyes, and something that would make you wise, and you feel like, oh, you're above everyone, and pride creeps in. That's how the enemy attacks you. I used to tell the young people a lot of times, the enemy comes in the three G's against you. I remember all the youth, young people looking at me, what are you talking about, three G's, coach? Well, I was talking to guys at that time. It's usually the girls, the gold, and the glory. And he said, the enemy always comes attacking you with temptation of the opposite sex, or today can even be temptation of the same sex. And he always comes and tempt you about money, of being materialistic. Oh, you need to get that job, get another job. And he tempts you in that way because you try to strive on your own strength rather than trusting God who will provide for you. Then you get into the place of pride and the glory. You want the glory. You want to steal the glory from God. Let me tell you what, that's what Satan did. And before he was Lucifer, trying to take all the glory, he wanted to be like the Most High God. Well, let me tell you what, the Lord kicked him out of heaven. That's why he ended up on earth. Because pride comes before the fall. And the temptation of the enemy always comes in those three areas. What area are you being tempted in right now, today? That the enemy will come against your life. You see, when you don't know your purpose, you get lackadaisia and in your vision. And the Bible says that without a vision in God, that we begin to dwell carelessly. And we walk through life just fulfilling pleasures in our life. But then, along comes the enemy to tempt us, and he takes us down and brings us to a place where we don't want to be at. Well, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve got to a place where they realized they sinned against God. See, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's what the enemy is here for today. It's not to have a discussion with him or to have a relationship with him. It's to speak to him and put him in his place. And the Bible says he belongs under us. Amen. And we can step on him. We can step on all the attacks of the enemy of our lives. But God provides our redemption. Look what happened in Genesis 3 verse 7. Then the eyes of both were opened. This is Adam and Eve. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. What happened is they began to cover up. For the first time they realized they were naked. And what happened is they wanted to cover up. Because before they walked openly, nothing to hide, transparent before God. But see, sin always makes us to be self-conscious. Then what happened? We cover up. How many of you know that when we're tempted and we give in to sin, there's a lot of cover-up coming along in our lives? If you've been walking with the Lord long enough, you understand what I'm talking about. But all along, God will give you a chance to repent and come back to Him. But what happened is we cover up. Then we usually sin again and we cover up. And we're living covered up lives. And we're so stressed out about covering up, man, we're not walking in freedom in the peace of God. How many of you know people like that? They're running from God because of things they've done. They know it's wrong, but they don't want to come up and fess up before God. They're still running and they're covering up. But the Lord always came to them. The Bible says the Lord came to them in the cool of the day. He came to them looking for them. He said, Adam, where are you? Now, the Lord knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to understand, where are you in relationship to him, to God? Because sin separates us from God. And the Lord was coming after them. How many of you know that even when we sin, we fall into sin, God still pursues us. He comes looking for you and I. You might think like, oh man, I don't want to be around the people of God. I don't want to be at church. I'm afraid. I'm ashamed. Let me tell you what, the Lord will send people into your path to talk to you about His love and forgiveness. He's always wooing you back into relationship with Him. Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. You see, God already, in this picture, He clothed them. And there was a sacrifice that was made. Because without the shedding of blood, there cannot be forgiveness of sin. And Jesus didn't come to the cross yet and die for our sins. So we find here that the Lord made a sacrifice for Adam and Eve, and He clothed them with clothes. See, the Lord will do for us that what we cannot do for ourselves. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Man, He died for you and I. He died for our sins. We were in our sins and lost and on our way to a place called hell. But Jesus paid the price, died on the cross for us, shed His blood. And when we receive Him and believe on Him, let me tell you what, that blood cleanses us from our sins and puts us back in right relationship with the Father. Free. And peace of God ruling in our heart and moving forward with God. How many of you experience the forgiveness and the redemption of God? See, God wants to redeem you. He wants to buy you back with His blood. See, you may be here this morning and you're trying this Christian walk and you're doing it on your own strength. Let me tell you what, it's not by who you are and what you've done and how smart you are. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you recognize that, He paid the price. He did for you what you would not be able to do for yourself. That's what God did for Adam and Eve here. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. By hiding shame, Adam and Eve were merely coping. God's covering would trigger healing in their lives. The animal sacrifice to produce the garment of skin represented the future sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Redemption can only happen God's way. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. If we insist on doing it our way, God will stay out of the way. If we submit it to do it His way, God will make a way. God will make a way for you. You see, God will make a way for you and I. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God don't want to just forgive you of your sins. He wants to give you victory. He wants you to live like He intended for you and I to live in victory, to rule and reign with Him. Adam and Eve's sin broke God's law and brought forth death. But redemption, recovery begins with healing. Healing prepares us for victory. God doesn't just want us to heal and survive. He wants us to thrive through Christ. Surrender and allow Him to take over. Help someone else also in the journey. I got two stories I want to share with you. On this one guy I talked to all his life. He was brought up as without a father. He suffered a severe depression and anxiety. He started to turn to drugs and alcohol in his life. His siblings raised him as the best as they could, but they were all orphaned together. Still very hard, they were finding their way through life. He didn't have a father figure. So this guy, he was having difficulty being a father to his son. And what happened is he realized he didn't have a father figure. But as he began to cry out to God, how many of you know that when things are messy in our lives and we don't know the purpose of our lives, God will speak to us when we humble ourselves and seek after Him. While he began to seek after the Lord, he gave his life to God, and because someone introduced him to Christ, and he began to read up and understand what it is to be a father. But today, this man began to rise up and be a father to his son. He's a leader now at our Kaneohe campus, and he actually helps with our operations. He actually leads his family in prayer. He leads his son to raise him up to be like a leader, just like him. How did that happen? Well, the enemy was out to ruin his life, but the Lord redeemed him. And today he's not just surviving, he's thriving in his life. Thriving in his life. I have another story about a family, and you know this family. Hank and Jill Chianini. Hank and Jill have been married for 23 years, but they knew each other 10 years prior to that. And the beautiful thing about them, they've been attending Grace Bible ProSci for about 13 years. Hank and Jill has two kids, Keo, 22, who just recently graduated from college, and Kobe, who's a senior in high school. But back in November of 1994, while the process of their life is before that, they were bound in smoking ice and their whole life were just going out of whack. And because the pressures of life they were going through as a young couple, someone turned them on to some drugs and it opened the door where they went into that whole lifestyle for 10 years. The enemy was trying to destroy their life. Destroy the relationships of their family around them. But Jill and Hank had a bad addiction, and they kept in the drugs, and they still was functioning in their life, but they knew it was wrong. They're crying out for help. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people, they're smiling, they might drive the nice cars, they have all the bling bling, but let me tell you what, without Christ, they're crying out for help. They're crying out because they don't have any peace, they don't have any purpose without Christ. What happened is, they begin to, she found out she was pregnant in 1994. That's the start of Pearlside. That was the year we started here. And what happened was, and that in that moment, she realized she has to try to quit this addiction, but it was still powerful. And she wasn't able to just quit. It wasn't like last week's story where we talk about pain instantaneously. The craving and the drug addiction left Pete last week. Remember the story we shared on Easter? But this one, it was an ongoing thing. Sometimes God don't deliver you instantly. He wants you to trust you. Trust Him with all your heart. Well, as she began to go on in life, she was miserable and the addiction was still there. Then one day she met a woman who was Lynn Kinoshita, who was going to do a parent-child class. And she invited Jill to that class. She built a relationship with Jill. And after that class, she invited Jill and Hank to service. And it was one Easter service many years ago, 13 years ago, where they attended the service. And Jill and Hank felt the forgiveness of God. Because Jill was walking around with this cloud over her head, making her feel depressed, making her feel like something bad is going to happen because of all the things she's done over the years. She went through a transformation class, which is what today we call it our Freedom Weekend. And the Lord broke all those lies and those dark clouds off of her and began to cause her to walk in freedom. You know the amazing thing about that? That the Lord began to bless Hank and Jill as they walk with the Lord. Today, they serve in our kids' ministry. They've been with us at Regal from day one, almost 6 years ago. They help us with the kids' church and they've been walking in spiritual family. And Jill and Hank, the Lord began to use them to reach the rest of their family members. See, that's what God is all about. God doesn't want to just forgive you. He wants you to thrive. See, some of you, you're just in that place. Oh, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Let me tell you what. You're forgiven for a purpose. But God wants you to thrive in life. He doesn't want you to just stay neutral. Oh, I'm good enough. I'm good, Pastor Coach. I'm forgiven. Yes, you're forgiven for a purpose in life. And the closer you walk with God, you understand the purpose. The purpose of God was for Hank and Jill to be part of our kids' ministry, to start it up in the beginning, and also to lead the rest of their family to Christ. Every one of us have a purpose in God. It starts in that relationship with Him. Right this very moment, I can tell some of you, you feel a little ruined in your life because of things that happened to your life. You feel like you're like a substandard citizen in the kingdom of God because of the things that you've gone through. Let me tell you what, the Bible says there is now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, to those that are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you can no longer be condemned. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy trying to condemn you and hold you down. Jesus forgave you of that. He died for you on the cross. He shed His blood for that. Let me tell you what. When the Lord looks at that situation, when Father God looks at it, He doesn't see it as it was. He sees it covered, forgiven by His blood. Come on now. Somebody ought to say amen in that. You're not understanding what I'm saying here. You're not here just to go through the Bible. I used to tell a story. You're not here to be an astronaut just taking up space. You're here by divine appointment. Some of you, I look here, you're more mature than I am. You've been around the block. You live life longer than most people did. But you're still breathing. And the reason why you're still breathing, God is not finished with you yet. And don't you quit on God. Because God has so much more for your life. One of the days, we're going to get some stories up here of some seniors who are thriving for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Light a fire under some of you. Sometimes I talk to people, oh, God used to use me. God worked in me back in 1980, 1990. I want to know what God is doing in your life in 2018. Because what God did in the early 1990s, He can do in 2018 in your life. I don't want you to come here and just sit in the nice comfortable chairs and just have a nice message and just go away in a nice Christian walk with God. No, let me tell you what. I want you to change your world. I want you to get all fired up. Your prayers, your witness makes a difference. If you're mad at me right now, well, talk to Jesus about that. I love you folks. I want to see God working in your life in such a way that He redeems you for a purpose. And we're going to talk about that in this series and how you have a purpose in God.